pretty lady, Miss Lisa's. She's going to be 27. Says it's your 27th birthday. Talking about a busy weekend. Friday is Good Friday services. We're having the associational Good Friday services right here, and it starts at 12 noon. Taylor's going to be breaking the word with us that day. We will be observing the Lord's Supper. If you can come, if your work lets you offer that time, please come. Please fellowship with us. Exciting on Saturday, trip to Ziano's. And I hear tell they've got the best breadsticks. So if you would, please, if you're even interested in coming, please sign up. Today's the last day, I think, to sign up, because they have to get like a head count in to Ziano's. And then, of course, March 31st is Easter Sunday. There will be no evening worship that day. And Pastor Mike, do we still need candy for eggs and stuff?
Do what?
Do we still need candy for eggs and
no,
things?
No, actually, I think we're pretty good with the candy.
Okay, great. Thank you for bringing that in for everybody. Again, our prayer list is on the back. If you can, put that up on your bulletin. Every time you go to your refrigerator door, just look at a name there and say a prayer for them that day. Prayer works. It does. It edifies your soul. It brings you closer to God, and it blesses those that you're praying for. We've been praying for Pam and Rick, and it's so good to see them today. God is good giving them some time with us today. So, without further ado, let us open in prayer on this beautiful day. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we just want to come to you on this wonderful day. This day is so exciting for me. It says even the rocks would cry out if the people didn't. This is true, the triumphal entry of our Lord and Savior the week before his final days here on earth. When he was crucified as a man, we think about these things. We contemplate what that's all about. Dear Lord, I just ask a special blessing on each and every soul here today. A blessing on those that couldn't be here for illness or other issues going on in their lives. I ask a special blessing of the message that's going to be coming, the music today, that it all lifts up and glorifies your name. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.
Clear and loud, the Lord of men. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Resting alone in the desert, tell of the days that are past. Since he was tempted, yet was triumphant at last. Tell of the years of his labor, tell of the sorrow he bore. He was despised and afflicted, homeless, rejected, and poor. Tell me the story. Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell of the cross where they nailed him, writhing in anguish and pain. Tell of the grave where they laid. Tell how he liveth again. Love in the story so tender, clearer than ever I see. Stay, let me speak while you whisper. Love paid a ransom for me. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard.
Great Heavenly Father, we come before you, lay our tithes and offerings before you, do as you will with them. Father, help us to remember the Lord Jesus as we enter into holy work on this beautiful Palm Sunday. Help us throughout the week and remembering his sacrifice and for our sins, and help us to remember he has risen and that we may have eternal life, Father. Father, be with the pastor this morning. Lay on his heart what you want us to hear. And Father, we pray and ask this in the great precious name of Jesus. Amen.
stand and sing.
We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Before His throne, we will worship Him in righteousness. We will worship Him alone. He is Lord of heaven, Lord of earth. He is Lord of all who live. He is Lord above the universe. All praise to Him we give.
Jesus, bear
Well, good to see you this morning. Dennis and I were concerned for you there for a minute, but we realized that you were stunned. We did such a great job. Yeah. I want to look at Matthew this morning, chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. And you'll see it right off the bat and recognize that this is the day. And so let's look at this passage. Matthew says, "And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were unto Bethany, upon the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying to them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto ye, you shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that was might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strewed them in the way. And the multitude that went before and followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast all them all that sold and bought in the temple over against the table, overthrew the tables of money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. Father, be with us this morning. Let us draw to your holy word. But let us, Father, do that with our eyes open, our ears open, our consciousness, our imagination, that we might kind of transport ourselves back to that first triumphal entry. we might get the feel and smell the smells of victory in the air and the love that was crowning and being presented then. Father, we know that just a short time in those cries of Hosanna would turn to crucify him. We are a fickle people, Lord. We are. We ask your forgiveness. Break our hearts and mold us and shape us that we might be useful vessels to you and all the things that we do, everything small and great that might emphasize and lift up Jesus to the world around us. Be with us now as we look at this passage of Scripture. Open our hearts, teach us the truths of it, for these things we ask in that mighty, mighty name of Jesus. Amen. First of all, you know, I need to kind of stop right here for a second and go back and give some of the background from those verses that we just read. You saw as we went there, there were quotes that we saw from the Old Testament. And so what was it? The day was the seventh day, a Sunday before Passover. Leviticus 23 tells us that the Lord spoke unto Moses. And of course, when you have Moses and Elijah, you have the two great prophets of the Old Testament. And it says, concerning the feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to the holy convocation, in the 14th day of the first month at eve is the Lord's Passover. This must be March or April on our calendar. The Jewish calendar, of course, is not a solar calendar. It's a lunar calendar. That's why the day changes for us. Some people say, well, I thought it was this day and that day. It's because that's a lunar calendar and we're a solar calendar. It's the seventh day before Passover, i.e. Passover Sunday. Next, in Matthew 21:1, it says, then said Jesus to two disciples, go to the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied. And what Jesus is hearkening to there is Zechariah 9:9, which says, rejoice, O greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, upon the colt, the foal of an ass. So these are prophecies, maybe hundreds of years old, that are coming to be fulfilled right in their midst. Wouldn't that be wonderful to have been there that day? What excitement that must have been. Next, Matthew 21:8 through 11 tells us, and a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the tree and strode them in the way. The branches, of course, that they cut down from the trees were not oak branches, and that's a tulip popular out there. No, they're palm trees. And so they broke those branches off and they put them in the way. But the palm branch also has a biblical understanding that is more than just a branch. It has a symbol. It is symbolic of peace and victory. Luke adds another interesting little detail here. In Luke 19:39, he says, and some of the Pharisees among the multitude said unto Jesus, Master, rebuke thy disciples. Jesus said, I tell you, if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Now, throughout the entire scripture, we should recognize that some people think that Jesus was talking here symbolically, the stones would cry out. I don't think so. The entire scripture gives us over and over and over again that inanimate objects, trees, rocks, plains, break out in praise to God Almighty. You see, we're the only goofballs on this wonderful, sweet, blue planet that doesn't recognize who God is. We're so full of ourselves, and we think we're so wonderful and great, we take command of everything, and we're in command of everything, that we don't recognize that we're in command of very, very little. Only by his grace are we in command of that to begin with, and that God is actually in command of everything. Go like this. Are you still breathing? By the grace of God, you are. Yes. Well, throughout the scripture, inanimate objects, rocks, trees, the whole creation breaks out in praise unto God. Isaiah 55, 12 says, "For you shall go out in joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you in singing." You know, I love to hunt, and I love to deer hunt. And one of the things you do in deer hunting is you get up early and you get to the woods. You get there before daylight, and you're sitting there. Sometimes it's a task. Every now and then, I've sat in that one corner stand, and I've thought to myself, what am I doing here today? I'm freezing to death. The wind is so cold, and it's dark, and all that kind of stuff. But you know what happens when it starts to have the break of day? Guess what happens? All the little birds start singing. The squirrels start moving around, thrashing around. I've had squirrels, I guess they thought to myself, what is that big ugly fellow's doing? I've had a squirrel come out on the limb right next to my tree stand and just chatter at me. If he would have been going like this, you know, get out of here. That's what he was saying, you know. But listen, the whole earth proclaims the glory of God. Colossians, Paul tells us, that all creation was made for God's glory. If you can't look at creation and see the wonder of it, guess what? You're not just simply blind. Your heart is so hard that no truth could penetrate it. All creation gives the glory to God. Every living thing in creation, God declares his power, his might, and his design. And human beings are created. We are created in the very image of God. We're God's highest creation. Over in Genesis chapter 1:27, it says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." We're created in the very image of God. Look, think about it. How unlikely, nay, I would say impossible, should it be that the King of Kings, the Lord of Glory, should enter into the holy city. Remember, we looked at that a couple of weeks ago. The eternal city, Jerusalem, without such honor. It's unthinkable. It's unthinkable. You know, in 1982, were you guys around at that time, 1982, here in Fort Wayne? We had a flood. The river got up a little bit and those kind of things. Jack Michael and I thought Jack had a pickup truck, and Jack said, "Do you want to go help over at the bagging station? They were filling up sandbags over there and stuff like that." And I said, "Well, okay, let's do that." And so we went over there. Boy, I wish I hadn't done that. Oh my goodness. We worked for about 3 or 4 hours, and Jack, he's a working machine. He's just filling those bags. I'm thinking, is there a Coke machine around here or anything like that? Could we get a donut? Just, you know, slow this guy down a little bit. But anyway, we were doing all that kind of stuff, and we got in Jack's truck, and we went around and started putting these sandbags out. And guess who came later on that day? Yeah, putting out sandbags. I don't know it, and I'm sure it's probably highly unlikely that he put a sandbag out that I filled. But just think, possibly. See, we don't know what we're doing specifically. I had no idea that President Reagan was going to come to town. I had no idea that he was going to take a couple of bags and put them up on the dike down there. And of course, you know, probably turned around and went like this. You know, tick, 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 all those pictures snapping. But listen, he came. He showed his concern. He did a little something. Think about it. How unlikely should it be for the King of Kings, the King of Glory, should enter into this city here in Fort Wayne and look for honor to be given unto him? It's highly unlikely, but it could happen and it should happen. We celebrate Palm Sunday. Even today, we remember that momentous occasion that will lead to the cross and the resurrection event, the most significant historical event in all of history. The people rightly hailed and praised Jesus as King, who comes in the name of the Lord of Glory. We have a, or I'll put it this way, I have, because I'm American, I have fetish about kings. I think to myself, King George, go home and be quiet. We don't need you, bud. Of course, I wasn't alive then. Some of you think I probably was, but I wasn't alive then. But you know what? The colonists did have a saying. Do you know they had a saying? You know what the saying was? No king but Jesus. Whoa. Now, if you were King George, that was an insult. No king but Jesus. Listen, he is the Lord of glory. We may have been trivial and all those kind of things and not totally understood the theological significance of those things that happened in human history, but they have a meaning. All this was God Almighty's plan of salvation to redeem fallen man from the moment he spoke everything into creation there was. I've heard people say that God was taken back. He was surprised that man was so sinful. I don't think so. Not at all. Of course, their idea was, well, if God knew there were going to be sinful men, he wouldn't have created them. Yeah, well, you know what being created in the image of God also tells us? We're a tripotomous being. We're a body, soul, and spirit. But we also have free will. We can say no even to God. It's amazing, isn't it? Now, Handel's Messiah. How many of you heard that? That's pretty cool, isn't it? I've had the opportunity when I was in college in Florida in our little town in Niceville. The college put this on, and it was fantastic. Handel's Messiah, which recognizes Jesus as the fulfillment of prophecy, coming the incarnate Son of God, crucified, the resurrection, rightly spotlights Jesus' entry into Jerusalem as well. The people of Jerusalem, the crowds, immediately recognize something's happening special here. Now, I think that they were well learned in their own scripture, and they understood this is a messianic passage being fulfilled in our eyes. One such clue was the people recognized that Jesus was riding on that donkey. You know, most conquering kings and all those kind of folks, they ride those big white chargers, you know, the horses bouncing around and jumping around. They're beautiful horses, aren't they? And all those kind of things. But in the Bible, the king, David, rode a donkey. The great King David. Immediately they began to shout, Hosanna! Hosanna! Hosanna to the Son of David. They put it all together. They were right. They were right for once in their lives. The genealogies that Matthew and Luke show us tell us that the Messiah was supposed to be of the household and lineage of David. God promised David that he would do that. And so it's interesting that Mary and Joseph both were of the household of David. Now, I think that's another kind of an odd but interesting thing, is that this very humble little folk from that little know-nothing village of Nazareth, born in Bethlehem, though, no, yes, they were so gifted and graced by God that they understood that, look, God's doing something great. He was fulfilling what we gave to the fathers. David's going to die, the Lord said, but I'll set up thy seed after him, which shall proceed out of his bowels, and I will establish his kingdom, and he shall build a house for my name, and I will establish thy throne and his kingdom forever. Matthew says, 2:19 says, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna means save now. Execute the plan. Break it all out. We're ready to go. And when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And verse 11 says, and the multitude said, this is Jesus. What did it say? This is Jesus, the carpenter of, no, that's not what it said. They said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. I always think to myself, don't you think about that? When Jesus taught things, people were just spellbound by what he said. Matter of fact, his teachings are still spellbinding. I don't know how many people seem to retreat to that idea that, well, Jesus is really not the Son of God or anything like that. But he was a very smart guy. Paul had great teachings, and we do well to follow those teachings and all that kind of stuff. Well, how can you say he was a real great guy and all that kind of stuff, and you don't follow his teachings, and you think he's a liar half the time? You're schizophrenic. Listen, even these old prophecies came to life when Jesus came. He came in to Jerusalem on that little donkey. Genesis 49, 10 through 11. Jacob pondered his blessing and his son Judah. And this is what it says. The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet. Oh, what tribe is Jesus from? Judah. Nor the ruler's staff from between his feet until he comes whom it belongs, and the obedience of the nation is his. He will tether his donkey to a vine, his colt to the choicest branch. This prophecy establishes the true king that they were looking for, the son of David, would be from the tribe of David, the tribe of Judah. So over in Peter, second chapter, verse 21, Peter says, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. Verse 22 says, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Verse 23 says, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. You know, most of the time when somebody tells us something we don't like and gets angry with us and gives us all kind of static verbally, what do? We get mad and react the same way and give them all kinds of verbiage sometimes. It's pointless to do that. I looked at my hand because I've got a knuckle over in this hand that's not quite right. See that one there right here? Can you see that one? You probably can't, but there's not much of a knuckle there. That's because the knucklehead, that's the hands together. Yeah, we were out there, and we were in Berlin. We were out in the Grunewald. The Grunewald's the green woods. Or behind our house, which you could go across to the Wannsee, and you could look into East Germany, and you could look over there to the very house that Hitler and his henchmen came up with the final solution. It's still sitting there. It's a beautiful place, actually. And we were out there doing stuff, and this guy didn't like me very much, and he was poking and prodding and poking and prodding, and he tripped me. I fell down. I got up, but when I got up, he hit me. I thought, well, good grief. You know, I'm not even on my feet, and you hit me in the face. And something took over in my psychic. I think it was probably anger. And I crook my fist back, and I thought, as hard as I can hit, I'm going to hit this guy. And you know what he did? He turned his head. And I hit him in the back of the head. I did knock him down, but I broke my knuckle. He never said that he had any, you know, I'm sure I'll probably give him a headache, but he wouldn't admit to that. But I was the one with the broke knuckle. Listen, we do things. We react wrongly. We let other people dominate us with their attitudes. And most of the time, those are bad attitudes. Verse 23 says, when he was reviled, he reviled not again. Jesus didn't go for tat. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to be the righteous judgment, who is in his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should be made alive unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. For we were as sheep going astray, but now are returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of our souls. Jesus didn't act, respond, or even do anything like a normal, sinful person. Jesus had compassion on the sick. Jesus had compassion on the lepers. Jesus had compassion on those that needed a special touch. Jesus did that. Remember over in Matthew 11, it tells us that John the Baptist was in prison. I don't know. Have you ever been to prison? I've been a couple times. I wasn't in prison. I just went to prison. You were thinking, oh, he's been to prison. I figured that. Yeah. One of the things that I was told when I went to the chaplaincy program down there for the Allen County Jail was, listen, pastor, and there were several of us there, listen, pastors, when you go to visit some of these guys, they're going to tell you the most sorrowful line of, I don't think that was the word they used, something like that, and don't buy it. They're here for a reason. And probably they got away with more than they're here in jail for. Yeah, yeah. I thought, oh my goodness, yeah, I didn't think about all that kind of stuff. And so you walk in, and there's a door. There's a guy over here. That door opens. You go in this little phone booth-like thing. There's another door over there. It opens. And you walk down the hall a little ways, and there's another door. Kablunk, it opens, and now you're in the jail quadrant area. And so I did those kind of things, and I was in that quadrant area, and I thought, well, there's three doors here. I wonder which one I'm supposed to go through. And so I went over there, and I took this door, because I'm right-handed probably, and pulled on it, and it went beep, 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 beep. Oh, my goodness, you know. Yeah. And the guy came out running to me, and he said, Pastor, did you try to open that door? And I said, well, yeah. I thought I was trying to. He said, you can't go in there and visit those guys. He said, we will send him out to you. You sit here. He'll come to you. That way we'll have eyes on him the whole time, and if he decides to beat you over the head with a chair or something like that, we'll be able to help you. I thought, oh, well, that's good to know. Listen, John the Baptist was in prison. Prison is not something that's a nice vacation. I don't know if John, because he was in prison and all those kind of things, kind of maybe got a little demoralized, because he asked his disciples about Jesus. He said, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? So I think John is, I proclaimed you Messiah. Was I right or wrong or something like that? And Jesus answered and said unto him, go and then show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their what? Sight. That's pretty good. Especially if you're blind. It's marvelous. The lame walk. Some of us are getting to the stage in our life sometimes when we get off the chair, we go, Todd's always getting on to me about that. He says, what's wrong with you? Yeah. Well, the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. What more could Jesus do in the ministry of bringing about truth and light to people's lives, those particular acts? What more could he have done that demonstrated his power, his glory, and who he was? I don't know what it could have been. For us today, what do we do with Jesus, who's called the Christ? We have a decision to make too. Believe who he said he was, which that means believing the Gospels as the Word of God, which I do. Believe who he said he was. Believe the preaching of the gospel by the apostles. The Apostle Paul, for example, the Apostle Paul over in Acts 16, verse 31, he was not one of the 12, was he? Matter of fact, he was himself on the road to Damascus trying to go there to arrest Christians, and he was accosted or he was arrested by Jesus. And he became the greatest evangelist the world has ever seen. He became the greatest church planter the world has ever seen. The guy that was there to put people in jail switched sides and stood with those that he went to accost and put in jail. Over to Acts 16, 31, it says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Paul's whole life was changed. His whole attitude was changed. How did that happen? He encountered the living Christ on the road to Damascus. "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" We have three great witnesses. Did you know that? I believe we have something called creation. I don't see how anybody can look out on all the things that we see in creation, on earth and in space, and say, just took a couple million years to get this right. Other than that, we're doing pretty good. When I was teaching the youth class years and years ago, we looked at a video that had various incendiary things. Have you ever heard of a bombardier beetle? No? Yes? Somebody? This little beetle actually has a charge in his hind parts. And when something is going to get him and devour him or whatever, he throws that bomb. It's actually, there's an electric charge that he ignites and makes that boom. Amazing, isn't it? That's pretty amazing. But you know, all creation is like that. Ever see a giraffe? They had some giraffes a couple of years ago down at the Fort Wayne Zoo, and everybody was so happy and proud to have them down there and that kind of stuff. And we went down there. And we fed them a piece of lettuce like everybody else. And I didn't know it at this particular time. But you know, a giraffe is a pretty tall fellow, right? And when a giraffe wants to get a drink of water, what's he have to do? Has to kind of spread his legs out in the front and starts to lower himself down and takes a drink of water. There is something in his head here that stops the blood flow so that he can lower his head to drink. If that didn't happen, when he starts lowering his head, he'd pass out. And that's not the only thing. He's lowering his head to get a drink. What if something startles him? And he puts his head up real quick. Guess what? There's another little thing there that holds that blood there so that he doesn't pass out the other way. Lions and tigers and bears, oh my, they would think these giraffes are really cool, man. You only have to do is scare them a little bit, they fall over, and we have a barbecue. No, no, no. God has built into them these wondrous devices that saves their life. They can lower their head and drink. They can bring that head up as quickly as possible and not faint. Matter of fact, they can run away. And they run pretty fast, actually. We have three great witnesses. We have creation. Beautiful stuff out there. We talked about Yellowstone Park a couple of weeks ago. I know that Tom and you guys were out there. You were different places. You guys were trying to go to every national park in America. Was that the plan, Tom? Every state? Okay. Nevertheless, it's amazing places. It's amazing places. So we have creation. Just anybody with a wit of sense would say, how can that be? The little bombardier beetle will still be blowing himself up. He never got it right. The giraffes are the same. All those things. Creation itself. And then we have something called the scripture. It's a witness to God. It is, we say, rightly so, the word of God printed for us. It's the most beautiful thing ever written. Has the greatest promises in all the world. Tells us about fantastic achievements, fantastic touches of God in people's lives. Somebody's going this way and God touches them, they go this way. They're going to arrest Christians and all, they become the standard bearer for Christianity. It tells us about all those kind of things. It tells us about millions and millions of believers all over the world. Not just here in America, not just in the European continent, but all over the world. You know, one of the hotbeds for Christianity right now? Guess which country it is. What'd you say? China? Yeah, it is. It's China. That's weird, isn't it? On television, you'd think these Chinese guys were, you know, the red Chinese were in charge of everything. Oh, they whoosh. The Church of the Lord Jesus Christ in China is growing by leaps and bounds. And they can kill them, they can put them in jail, they can torture them, they can do all those kind of things, and it does not stop the growth of the church in China. It was been several years ago that I saw on the news, early news one morning, these three girls, and they were from Iran, and they were in Cyprus or someplace like that, and they had been kicked out of Iran. The Iranians had arrested them and put them in jail, thinking this will shut them up. You know how they got to Cyprus? The Iranians let them loose and took them there. You know why? Because these women would not be silent, and they shared Jesus with people in jail, and people in jail were receiving Jesus. They couldn't shut them up. And so they kicked them out of the country. The only thing that I thought was kind of odd was that those girls were saying on national television, maybe the Iranians watch a little TV, I don't know, that we're getting ready to go back. Yeah, we're getting ready to go back. I haven't heard anything since, but I bet they went back. And I bet they're still witnessing for Jesus. Listen, the creation tells us, the scripture tells us, and we're supposed to tell it. If you've got nothing to say about what Christ has done for your life, then Christ hasn't done anything for your life. You speak of what you know. You tell of what has happened to you. Because we too are believers. Jesus came into Jerusalem. To me, this is one of the great highlights of his ministry. Wish that, oh that. The people who were yelling, Hosanna, save now, would have kept that up for another couple of weeks. But in the course of a couple of weeks, Pilate brought him out and said, what shall I do with this Jesus who's called the Christ? What shall I do with your king? And they said what? Crucify him. Hearts can be hard. Hearts can be hard. Hard hearts makes us blind. Hard hearts make us not hear. Hard hearts make us not receive the blessings of God. Hard hearts intimidate us to the point that we're almost useless, but God still loves us and wants us to get in the game. Are you in the game? Maybe I shouldn't have said it that way. Are you serving the Lord? I think if you go and do a spiritual gift study, that most scholars think there are about 16 spiritual gifts. I don't know of anybody that has them all. But I think the scripture tells us that you will have one at least. And I think because God is gracious, most of the time he does give more. But you've got one at least. What could it be? Only you can say that. But you've got one, brothers. You've got one, sisters. Use it for his glory. And God will speak like a mountain, like a great falls of noise, and he'll bless it. Father, thank you for the time you give to us to come to worship you in your house. And we are your people, and we thank you for your grace in our lives. But Lord, I also pray that in these next days, we will recognize that this is a time that is an optimal time. There are people who are actually thinking for the very first time, maybe in all of the year, about Jesus. They see signs on churches. They see programs. They see all kinds of things talking about Jesus. And they ask themselves, who is this Jesus? We should tell them. He's the Lord God Almighty. He is the King of glory. He is the Savior of the world. And what a marvelous Savior he is. Father, if decisions need to be made openly, publicly, even here this morning, I pray they'll be done so to honor Jesus. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. I think we have an invitation song. Let's stand.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Stay, he washed it white as snow.